I want to, the little bridge that we sang there, I want to read that to you again, and I want you to understand something. The mountains shake before him, the demons run and flee at the mention of the name King of Majesty. Did you know that there's power in the name of Jesus? There is nothing that can stand against the name of Jesus. God's word tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And that's in the physical sense and also in the spiritual sense. So what a great message this morning. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Know that you are already here. Come and speak in power and authority. And transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in case you haven't noticed, this morning is Father's Day. I'm going to try to hold it together. This is my first Father's Day without my father on this earth. And I was telling Carlene this morning, she asked how I was doing about that. And you know what I said to her was, well, I had a great one. I had a great one. And not everybody can say that. I had a great one, and I will see him again. And he and my mom introduced me to Jesus. And I've got so many great memories about Dad as I think through those. And y'all have heard many of them where I loaded his cigars, you know, when I was a little kid, and they blew up in the restaurant twice and things like that. And when he came home from work and there was a hole in the living room wall the shape of my brother's back. And, you know, you've heard some of those stories. But I don't know if you've heard, I don't think I've told the motorcycle story when I learned to ride the motorcycle. Have I told that story? I did? So you're going, yeah, please don't tell it again. All right, I won't tell it again. That's all right. If you didn't hear that story, you can see me later. And come on, beg me a little bit. Come on. All right. Whew. Yeah, they want to hear it, Jordan. Well, okay. We bought a motorcycle. My brother was 15, and they bought a motorcycle. I was 12. Had no business. Either one of us had no business riding a motorcycle. But anyway, Jay was getting to ride the motorcycle, and I was mad because Jay gets to do everything. You know, one of those kind of deals. And of course, I was 12, and I whined enough until Dad finally said, "Okay, I'll take you to a parking lot." You remember the Highland Church of Christ used to, before they built a lot of extra buildings, they had this humongous parking lot out there. And it was kind of sloped downhill and so forth. So Dad took me to that parking lot and he kind of shows me where everything is, you know, the brake and the throttle and the clutch and the gears and all that stuff. And so he's kind of gives me a little once over. I had no idea what I was doing. I was 12 years old. And he's sitting behind me and he says, "Okay, you know, pull in the clutch and then your throttle's over here." And he said, "Now, just give it a little bit of gas and just slowly let out your clutch." When you said, and here was his word, "When you feel it kind of taking hold a little bit, give it a little bit more gas and keep letting the clutch out and you'll start." Okay, okay. Well, first time I did it, you know, I let out too fast and it died and kind of lurched and I was embarrassed. And I did that two or three times and he said, "Jeff, you gotta give it a little bit more gas. It's the only reason it's dying, a little bit more gas and just let that clutch out slow." So I thought, it ain't dying this time. So, yeah, you know, it's coming. So I was easing it out, and I felt like it was fixing to die again, and that thing reared up. And I still don't know how I rode a wheelie, but I riding a wheelie, and I look back, and Dad is on the parking lot floor and ground, and he just waved at me and just got, "Go on." One of my great memories of Dad. Another memory of my dad is playing catch with my dad. Isn't it a simple thing? Throwing a baseball, throwing a football. Isn't that just a simple thing that we do and the impact that has made on my life? And I saw this commercial, and I know most of you have seen this commercial, and I'm not advertising Volkswagen, I promise. But I had to show this commercial. It just cracked me up. Go ahead and fire it up, Lee.
Find it? All right. Another one, just like that. Right in the old bucket. Good toss. See, that's much better. That was good. You had your shoulder pointed. You kept your eyes on your target. Let's do it again. Watch me.
The durability of the Volkswagen Passat. Pass down something he will be grateful for.
Good arm.
That's the power of German engineering.
Back to you.
Now, you think, when I saw that commercial, I'm just like everybody else, you know, at the first, you know, and the son throws it goofy, and your dad goes, good one, that's a good one. You're thinking, what an encourager he is. You know, he really thought it was a good one. He did it just like he had shown him. My dad could throw the baseball better than that, by the way. But it still reminded me of those times out in the yard and out in the street doing that. Now that's the memory I have of father and his son growing up. Now, I grow up and I get married and I have girls. You know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus or whatever. Mine are from Pluto or something. I don't know where they came from. But it's a whole different environment raising girls. And this was pretty much a snapshot of what I went through raising girls.
Do you remember who was all there? Luke and
wow.
Chloe?
You might need to breathe, child.
Well, you didn't even play with your own toy.
All right, Lee. That clip goes on for like 5 minutes, and she does not shut up the whole time. And my girls are in their 20s now, and it's still just like that. Only I've got a wife and a mother and a mother-in-law that join in from time to time. Women, they got a lot of words. A lot of words. All right. I'm starting a new sermon series today called Jesus the Miracle Man. Jesus the Miracle Man. Today, a father's faith. Now, I'm going to be walking for a few weeks here through some different miracles that Jesus performed and what I think that that we can glean from those stories and those events that took place. I'm preaching a little. My style today is a little bit different. I'm going to kind of preach as I go through this. And the passage is found in Mark chapter 5. If you want to turn there, Lee is, because I wasn't quite sure how for him to follow me. Lee's not going to be putting the scripture on the screen this morning. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, is the passage. And you can follow it along there on your insert. Now, let me set the stage here. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. He's at the Sea of Galilee, which if you were on our trip, our Israel trip about 3 years ago or so, we got to see the Sea of Galilee, and it was so incredible. And to just be there and to actually, we rode a boat out onto the Sea of Galilee, the exact same body of water that Jesus walked on. I mean, blew my mind. Really a neat deal. But Jesus had just cast the demons. He had crossed over the lake. And we saw the area where, remember the man who was possessed by demons and Jesus cast them into the pigs and they ran off the cliff? Well, we saw the cliffs where they think that happened. Really neat. So he had been over there and on that side of the lake and he had crossed back over. And he's obviously when you're performing miracles, he had begun to gather a crowd. And so he crosses back over to the lake. And this was kind of the very populated side of the lake. And we pick it up in verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was at the lake. So you can just imagine Jesus is and his disciples, they're pulling in their boat into the shore, and this crowd, they're starting to hear the things that he's doing. And so this crowd gathers and begins to press in. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Now, Jairus, a synagogue ruler, they were not necessarily clergy, but they had held a position of leadership in the synagogue. It might have been like someone like our lay leader or somebody who had had some authority to organize and structure the services and so forth. So he was a man of influence and a man of power in the church. He came there, seeing Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine all these people are trying to press into Jesus. Now, what this Jairus, what he comes, the message that he comes with, I want you to just sense the apprehension and perhaps the panic that may be in his mind. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. So here you have this man of some standing, this man of prestige in the church, and he comes to Jesus and he falls at his feet in desperation. Pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter, which by the way we'll see later in the verse, she's 12 years old. My little daughter is dying. So he's got this man of some power comes and humbles himself and he falls at Jesus' feet and he's pleading for the life of his 12-year-old daughter. And he's having, you can imagine, he's having to kind of break through this crowd. Everybody's clamoring to Jesus. Everybody wants a piece of what's going on. They at least want to see what Jesus is all about. And this man comes, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So that's the request. Now, Jesus says, so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. So this man, he comes, he makes his way through. He finds Jesus. He falls at his feet. He pleads for the life of his daughter. Jesus hears him in the midst of the crowd, and he says, I'll go with you. So they begin this journey to find Jairus' daughter. Now, this next set of verses in verse 25, they call this the miracle on the way to a miracle. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to see his daughter. A woman was there, in verse 25, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now I'd researched the medical practices of the day for someone in her condition. And I started to kind of list all those, but it's just weird stuff. I mean, they had you grinding up different organs from animals and bones and all this stuff and feeding it to you and doing. It was just weird stuff that the doctors of the day would have prescribed for this condition. She was under their care and she had spent all of her money and she was still in this state of bleeding for 12 years. When she heard about, so we have another desperate person. There's something about being desperate that's not always bad. I want that to soak in a second. I see people all the time that are going through severe trials, and one of the things that I tell people is, I know it's hard, but God is moving in the midst of this. He is moving in the midst of this. So don't be discouraged. So desperation is not always a bad thing. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, and let's look at the faith that this woman had. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see, the people cried in against you, his disciple answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? So, I want to switch back and forth between this lady and this father. This father has humbled himself. He's thrown himself at the feet of Jesus. He's convinced him to come with him. His daughter is dying. He knows that time is short. In fact, she may already have died. He doesn't know. And he's in a hurry to come. You know, can you just imagine the anxiety of and the hurriedness on this father to get Jesus back to his daughter? And yet now he's got this needy woman messing things up, slowing down Jesus. And he's got this crowd. Can you just even imagine the frustration of this father trying to get Jesus through the crowd? And all they're really wanting to do is just see this guy they're hearing about. And he's got a daughter at home dying. And so Jesus said, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Now, I believe there's some bad theology that can come from these kinds of scriptures. And here it is that if you pray for someone to be healed and they're not healed, you didn't have enough faith. That's bad theology. It's bad theology. Because guess what? You know, none of us getting out of this life alive. Have you realized that yet? I mean, these bodies, as we're sitting here this morning, they're dying. I mean, our bodies are temporary. They are not going to last, and we will someday die, each one of us. And so the fact that if you held that theology that said, if you only have enough faith, everybody you pray for will be healed. If that was your theology, then it's flawed, because that's not fact. It's not the way life is. But in this case, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." So faith is important. Faith is significant. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now we shift back to the dad. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." So what's he asking of the father? Faith. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. Can you imagine? They laughed at him. After he had put them out, now I love that. I was thinking, you know, here you got these people that obviously loved this little girl who has died, and they laughed at Jesus, and he put them out. It was kind of like, you know, "I was going to let you see a miracle, but not now. Get out. Get out. Mom, dad, disciples, let's go in." And can you imagine what they got to see? But these people that laughed in the face of Jesus, he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. So I guess I will stop there a second and ask, how many times do we miss out on seeing something Jesus is going to do, wants to do, because we don't think he can do it? I see it all the time with marriages. I see it all the time with marriages. People come to me and with a brokenness in their relationship, and the first thing I tell them is, do you want to be married? Do you want to work at this? Because if you don't, I can't help you, and Jesus can't help you. I mean, if we come to Jesus, we must believe that he can help us and be willing to try. They laughed at him. He put them out. He took the father and he took the disciples. And when he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," and I'm not sure that's the right pronunciation, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. There's your age. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Now, a couple of things that struck me here. This little girl was 12 years old. How long had the woman been bleeding? 12 years. So this woman that was healed had been bleeding uncontrollably for the exact same amount of time that this little girl had been alive. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but it still struck me. I want to try to summarize what I hope that we can glean from this miracle. First thing is that this father loved his daughter. Now, it's hard. Did you know God is not calling us to be perfect parents, but he is calling us to be loving parents? You know, we don't know what kind of father this man was, But I think it's pretty obvious that he loved his daughter. He fought through the crowd to get to the feet of Jesus, and he humbled himself. Here's this man of some prominence in the church. And I want to stop and tell a story real quick. There was a man that most of y'all don't know this man anyway. It was not in this church. It was years ago I heard about. And his was a very strong Christian. His family was very strong Christian family, and they were in another church. And his teenage daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. And you know what this father did initially? Pulled the whole family out of church. Just isolated them in their home. It was such shame and humiliation in his eyes that he just pulled them out of the church and said, I can't face it. I mean, here we are, you know, I'm professing Christ. I'm trying to walk and be a strong Christian. And here my daughter has gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And this went on for a few months. And finally, to their credit, some people in his church cornered him and said, dude, wake up. We love you. We're here for you. This is when your family needs the church. This father loved his daughter, and he was willing to humble himself. And this father came to his senses that I'm talking about. He came to his senses and returned back to the church and allowed that church to love on them through that process. And it's in the end of the story is great. It's great, you know, the family's restored, and this little child that was born is a blessing, and all of those things. And yet his pride almost cost all that from happening. His pride. But this father loved his daughter enough to humble himself and fall down at the feet of Jesus and say, help me. How about us? Are we willing? When we need it? We, from time to time at our prayer time, we invite people that have needs to stand up. If you've been here for very long, we've probably done that since you've been here. We invite people to stand up, and many stand up. And I know that there's many more that want to stand up and just can't bring themselves to their feet. And I'm not here to cast shame on you or anything. I'm just telling you that we got to be willing to humble ourselves and say, I hadn't got my act together. I got problems. I got issues. I got struggles. I got grief. I got anger. This father loved his daughter enough to humble himself. And then the second point, and it ties in with the first, is the father humbled himself to Jesus. He fell at his feet, pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and leave. The father loved his daughter, and he humbled himself to Jesus. Third thing that we can glean, the father invited Christ into his home. Moms, dads, is Christ just when you come to church? Is that it? I mean, do our kids just see that when we come to church? And even if your kids are grown, when they come to your home, I know y'all going to think that this is just because I'm a preacher and I'm paid to be good, but sometimes Cheryl and I, we got all kinds of Christian artwork and plaques and different things in our house that, I mean, if you walked into our house and you don't know we're a Christian, you're blind. I mean, and I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm just saying sometimes we're like, you think we need to back her off a notch, you know, here a little bit? Because, I mean, everything on the wall, it's Jesus. And I'm not boasting about that. I'm just telling you that's because Jesus is everything to me and to our family. I mean, Jesus, we wouldn't be a family without Jesus. And so this father invited Christ to his home. It wasn't just that when he was at the synagogue, I'm a leader, but he invited him into his home mainly because he was desperate. He knew that he needed Christ. My little daughter is dying, he pleaded earnestly with him. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And the fourth thing I think we can glean from this is that this father trusted Jesus even when others scoffed. He didn't care what anybody else said. When he showed up and people had told him, your little daughter is dead, and Jesus said, don't worry, just trust me, have faith, let's go see your daughter. And so he's walking there, and Jesus says that to the people who are mourning, and they laugh. It would have been easy for that father to go, oh, well, never mind. never mind. Now they're mocking me. No, he was desperate, he was broken, and he knew he needed a Savior. I want to talk about this final thought. This miracle is not the fact that Jairus' daughter lived forever. Did you know that, and the Bible doesn't record it, did you know Lazarus died? Did you know that? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised this little 12-year-old daughter of Jairus' from the dead. Do you think they died later? Why did they die? Because we live in a broken world and these bodies aren't going to make it. They're not going to make the trip. The point is not that Jesus will raise our loved ones from the dead if we only ask and have faith. That's not the point at all. Although I believe with all my heart he can do it. Today, I believe he can do it. I could preach a whole other sermon and show you documented cases where he has done it. Medically documented cases. But I'm not going there this morning. But that's not the point, is that if we just have enough faith and we ask Jesus, he'll raise our loved ones from the dead, or he'll save them from horrible disease or any of those kinds of things. That's not the point. The point is that Jesus is the only hope we have in this life. That's it. He's the only hope that we have, and this Father knew it. He knew if anything miraculous was going to happen, it was going to happen on behalf of this man right here, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is in the miracle business. Now, more times than not, the miracles I see on a pretty regular basis are transformed marriages. I see people who have been angry and bitter for years and years and years. I see that miraculously taken from them. I see people who have all sorts of grief and financial problems and so on and so forth. I see the body of Christ stepping in on behalf of Christ and transforming those things. But I see transformation happening within people. Jesus is in the miracle business. And someday, I'll go ahead and put the cat out of the bag. I've only told a handful of people this. God's laid it on my heart really a long time ago to write a book about marriage. And he's already given me the title, so if any of you steal it, I have witnesses this morning. It's called Marriage Resurrection. And I'm going to write it. I may be 95 when it comes out, but I'm going to write it. I've already started on it. And I tell couples that come to me, they'll say things like, I just don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. It's just too far. Too much has happened. It's broken. It's dead. Our marriage is dead. And I tell them, well, you're in luck, because God is in the resurrection business. God is in the resurrection business. He's in the miracle business. He takes dead, lifeless things and he breathes life into them. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve, and that's the point. And this father, Jairus, knew that. He knew that Jesus was that kind of a man. So, I ask you this morning, what are you needing a miracle for? What are you needing a miracle for? As a child, I talked to somebody this week. A child, it was a man, came and cleaned our carpets. Imagine that. I knew him from old relationship from high school. And his child has, I said, how's it going? Well, it's going pretty good, except my 26-year-old son is messed up with drugs and all kinds of stuff. He asked me to pray for him, and I did. And so we have children that have lost their way. We have maybe perhaps a child or a parent that we haven't talked to in years. What are you needing a miracle for today? Health problems? God does not always cure cancer when we ask him to, or cure diabetes or whatever it is. But I want to tell you that his peace, he never fails to bring his peace if we ask for it, to walk through the storms with us. Health problems, financial problems, relief from grief, overwhelming grief that just almost is incapacitating grief. Our ability to forgive someone who has hurt us, wronged us, freedom from an addiction. Do you need the miracle of joy this morning? Has joy left your life? Jesus is the miracle man. He's in the miracle business. He's in the resurrection business. So I invite you, if you'd bow your heads with me. It's just in your own heart. In your own heart, tell Jesus what you need. Just like Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and he was a broken and desperate man, it's okay. It's a good thing to be broken and desperate. Tell Jesus what it is that you're needing. For Jairus, he said, come and heal my daughter. Maybe for you it's come and take this grief from me. Take this addiction from me. Restore these relationships. Jesus, honor the prayer of our hearts this morning. We thank you that you are still in the miracle business today. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, I invite you, the altar is open. We're gonna baptize the Solvay boys in just a moment. We'll just take a moment to do that at the end of our services. I stand as we close this morning. The altar is open. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a great Sunday to do it. Please seek me out. I'll be around until everybody else is cleared out. Seek me out.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go in, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
I have decided
to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back,
no turning back.
no turning back, no turning back.
Go ahead and be seated.
All right, Dylan, you the man. How's that water?
It's warm.
Awesome. All right. We're going to let Mom and Dad get up here. Lower your stand there, dude, is what they're asking. All right. Okay. Dylan, we talked this week, and both of the boys have been asking about Jesus and being accepting him into their heart and being baptized for a while now. And we talked this week, and Dylan, we talked about some questions. And the first one is, we talked about that word sin, that we're all sinners. And so I ask you this morning, do you ask God to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
Amen. And you accept, want to accept Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross as your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Oh, yes. Not yes. Oh, yes. Do you wish to be baptized in that faith?
Yes, I do.
Amen. If you will step down and turn around facing the other way and then sit and then hold your nose. All right, Dylan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Stay right there. It's warmer. Mom and Dad, why don't y'all slide in here, and I'm going to pray for him. Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you that Dylan has said yes to you, and you have long ago said yes to him. Bless him, God. Fill him now with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill him from the top of his head to the tip of his toe. Make him be the man you have created him and called him to be, God. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's towels right in there, Dylan. And we got a little brother. Connor, come on out, big guy. How's that water for you? Warm? Okay. Connor, you heard me just talking with Dylan, and I'm going to ask you the same questions. Do you confess and admit that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And you repent of that sin. You ask Jesus to forgive you of that sin. And do you wish to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. You'll turn and sit right there. Hold your nose. Connor, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Awesome. Stay right there. All right, let's pray for Connor. Father, I thank you for Connor, and I also thank you for when you were on the cross, Father, you had Connor on your mind, and I pray, God, blessings on him. I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you would, Father, create in him the man that you have created him to be, and Father, walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'll stand and receive this benediction. Go and celebrate the miracle man, Jesus Christ. We are dismissed. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.
My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus.